Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart. Since 2010, the most listened to radio show in the nonprofit sector, dedicated to helping your charity succeed. It's no secret that combining online and offline techniques is the key to fundraising success, and practical nonprofit management advice is what you need. The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart is the perfect landing point to learn from top experts around the world who provide advice you can use. Ted Hart is without a doubt one of the foremost nonprofit thought leaders. Also a successful author, his books range from successful online fundraising to expert nonprofit management. Guests on the Nonprofit Coach are leaders in their field who share their insider tips and trade secrets in a conversational style both the experienced and novice will benefit from. Ted lectures around the world, but now he's here for you. From the latest in charity news, technology, fundraising, and social networking, Ted and his guests help you and your organization move to greater levels of efficiency and fundraising success. This is a live call-in show. Add your voice by calling 347-324-3080. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at tedhart.com. Click on the radio links. Don't forget to dial 347-324-3080. Now, welcome the host of the Nonprofit Coach, Ted Hart.
And welcome here to this latest edition of the Nonprofit Coach. Thank you for joining us today. We are also live casting over at Facebook, facebook.com/TedHart. As always, here on the Nonprofit Coach, we start with page one news. Before we start with page one news, I just want to remind everybody that if you have Amazon Alexa at home, an Echo device, you can now say, Alexa, play the Nonprofit Coach on TuneIn, and she will start playing every one of our podcasts for the Nonprofit Coach, and you can say next, and it will go to the next topic, and it will always start with the most recent edition of the Nonprofit Coach. As always, and as promised, we start here with page one news. Over here on page one, we have Jeff Stanger, who is here to bring us up to date on all the latest news from CFRE International. Welcome back to the Nonprofit Coach, Jeff Stanger.
Thanks, Ted. Happy to be here and excited. We have a busy, busy spring at CFRE this year, and I want to start with the upcoming test application deadline. It's April 15th. Anyone out there listening, if you're planning to take the exam between April 15th and June 15th, then April 15th will be the deadline to get your application in. We are going to be out in force in some conferences this year. AFP Icon, obviously, coming up at the end of March, March 31st to April 2nd. Eva Aldrich, our CEO, will be presenting how to become a CFRE, and joining her will be Tysalee Williams. We'll be at NATO, the National YMCA Development Officers Conference, April 3rd to the 5th. The Canadian Association of Gift Planners will be there April 9th through 11th. That'll be in Montreal. And also new this year, the African American Development Officers Conference. That's in Indianapolis, April 15th through the 17th, and we'll be there as well. One of the most exciting things, I think, for this later this spring, though, is we're going to have a new suite of study guides and aids that are going to be out to help people who are preparing for the exam. We have a new course, and that'll be delivered through some of our partners like AFP and others as well. But we've been working on this new course and these new materials for a couple of years now, and we're really excited that we're really close to having those available for everyone.
Terrific. And we've just posted over on facebook.com/TedHart the latest news and update that has the dates that you've just shared with us here. Certification continues to grow, Jeff?
Absolutely. We're probably going to cross over 6,500 worldwide CFREs, and it just continues to grow. And with the growing number of universities that are now approved providers. More people are going into the profession, leaving college with that expectation that they're going to sit for the CFRE exam and become CFRE. So it continues to grow.
Well, we certainly, as you know, here on the Nonprofit Coach, we encourage all of our listeners as they become eligible for certification that they should be in contact with CFRE. We're posting over on facebook.com/ Ted Hart, the certification details, and we believe that it is a strong indication of your professionalism to voluntarily stand for exam with your colleagues and to join the growing ranks of CFREs around the world. And this is a strong international offering for CFRE with strong partners around the world.
Absolutely, and we've seen it grow over the last few years, and with partnerships in China and South Korea and Japan, we're just really excited about the worldwide growth of the credential.
That's terrific. Well, Jeff, thank you again for bringing us all the updates and information from CFRE International. We look forward to you coming back on the show. And now it's time for Page 2. I think if you are paying attention or knowledgeable at all about the nonprofit sector, it could not have missed your knowledge of the merger between GuideStar and Foundation Center to form an all-new organization called Candid. Today, Gabe Cohen, who is the Senior Director of Marketing and Communications for Candid, which is, again, born from the merger of Foundation Center and GuideStar. The goal of Candid is what we're going to be talking about today, the reason for the merger, what happens next, and how the nonprofit sector will benefit. Candid connects people who want to change the world to the resources, connects people who want to change the world with the resources that they need. Gabe leads a team that is responsible for telling Candid's story, advancing its mission, and increasing adoption of its programs and products. We start here today. Welcome back, Gabe. You have been here on the show many times. Our producer, Diane Peach, has had you as part of our Page One news, bringing us updates principally from GuideStar. As you know, we're very strong supporters of GuideStar and the Foundation Center here on the Nonprofit Coach. So, Gabe Cohen, it is a pleasure to welcome you back.
Yeah. Hey, Ted. Great to be back, and thanks for you and Diane for giving us the time today to chat with your audience about Candid. I think I first joined your program probably in 2015, 2016, so been a few years, but happy
to
be
here
today
to talk
about Candid.
Yeah, you're an expert. So let's go back to the roots of this discussion and share with our listeners, why did the Foundation Center and GuideStar decide to join forces?
Yeah, great question. So conversations informally started about the two organizations working together probably, I'd say, around 2010, maybe so, 5-10 years ago. And those conversations just simply started as we're doing a lot of the same work. And we think there's a potential that if we were to partner on more things, that we could do that work better. Those conversations evolved over the years. We looked formally at merging as organizations about 5 years ago. And there was a study that was done with an outside consulting organization that looked at it and said, you know, we think this is a good idea, but we don't think the timing is quite right. And so we started to make small steps in the background, knowing that this may be something that we were working towards in the future, but we kept operating as individual organizations. Just about a year ago, we did a similar kind of study to look and see if both the fact that it was still right to merge as organizations was true, and to see if now was the time to do that. And that study basically found that, yeah, this is the time with everything that is going on in the world, with the polarization, political polarization, with climate change and technologies popping up all over the place that are both helping and hurting nonprofits and the work that they do. Now was the time to combine forces and to become one organization and to start working towards one goal. And so that work started in earnest maybe 12 months or so ago behind the scenes. And part of that process was working with a team to create a new brand. And then part of it was a fundraising effort to see if the foundation community at large was supportive of what we were trying to accomplish. And turns out they really were and are and continue to be. And so with that, and in a lot of work in the background from a lot of my teammates, both on the Legacy GuideStar and Legacy Foundation Center side, we were able to launch Candidate on February 5th.
Yeah, well, congratulations. And we got you here on the Nonprofit Coach as quickly as we could so that all of our listeners in the nonprofit sector, you know, can really learn about this merger and why it happens. It was reported that the strategic partnership that led to this dates back to 2013, and as you said, there's been sort of this running dialogue in terms of when the timing might be correct. You said, obviously, the announcement last month, and now is the time. And it's reported that there's a full review of sort of the redundancies between the two organizations and sort of the complementary capacities. Can you talk to us about, you know, what are those things that you were doing, you know, independently, but the same, and what are those things that ended up driving you towards this complementary merger?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And, you know, I think at its most simple form, to use a metaphor, we've kind of always felt that we're two sides of the same road, maybe, and that, you know, on the Legacy GuideStar side of things, we had really good information about nonprofits, but some of our core users are foundations and the staff of foundations. And on the Legacy Foundation Center side of things, they had really good information about foundations and the grants that foundations make, but their core users were nonprofits. And happening at the same time as both of our organizations were kind of continuing to move forward on the respective sides of the road, if I may beat that metaphor a little bit further, that what was happening is that the separation of power between foundations and nonprofits just continued to grow and become more and more evident. And so that was one of the things that, as that became a more frequent topic of conversation, as you would go to foundation conferences and nonprofit conferences and online and on Twitter and all over the place, we were cognizant of that. And we think that by bringing those two sets of information together and those two sets of users together into one platform, that we really have an opportunity to bridge that gap a bit and make for a more equitable sector where nonprofits that are doing really good work are more naturally able to attract the attention of foundations that want to fund that great work for the causes and communities that they care most about. And same is true for individual donors too. It happens in a little bit of a different way, and a lot of that has to do with the platform channels that GuideStar has created over the years, and to a certain degree Foundation Center has too. But we really, you know, our mission is relatively simple and also very challenging. Our mission is to get you the information that you need to do good. And so that first step to do that is to bring that information together, and then we can start to get it out there to all of the people in the nonprofit sector directly and kind of just tangentially outside of it that want to make better decisions about how they're spending their money and time and resources to try to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. You said that a lot of the merger talks and what led to this is you know, we're in a data-driven society. and both organizations have a lot of data. Let's talk about what that looks like from the Foundation Center side. More than 13 million grants and 155,000 grant makers, so lots of data there. And on the GuideStar side, profiles of 2.7 million organizations and more than 10 million people who used the GuideStar database just last year. So that's a lot of traffic. That's a lot of data. How will Candid help users make sense of all of that?
Yeah, great question as well. And it is a lot of data, and it is a lot of users. And that's what we're most concerned about, is figuring out how to connect that all of those pieces of data to all of the users in the right way. And so we're really starting a deliberate process now and have been doing that work somewhat before we merged. But really, in essence, it started right around our merger date, of figuring out how we can best help our different core user groups. And so that process starts with listening, and that's what we're doing now, is that we've kind of begun a process of listening to our users to learn how we're going to be able to help them the most. And it really started on launch day. We set up an email, an inbox, where people could just send us their suggestions, and we probably got hundreds and hundreds of suggestions that came in on how this new organization that sits kind of at this central location between nonprofits and funders at a very general level, I say funders, and how we're going to be able to connect those pieces using data as kind of the web to draw those two groups together. And so that process is continuing now. We are constantly talking with our key users and our key partners and our key clients and our key funders. And we just had a webinar about a month ago, and there'll be kind of a series of these where we want to have these interactive conversations to better understand how our user base and our stakeholders think that we can help them. And so that's really the process that's going on now, is that listening aspect. And from there, we will begin a process of ideation, of taking those ideas that we're hearing from our users and then starting to make them a little bit more real. And we've got some ideas already of ways that we're going to be able to help. But we're really in the beginning phases of that. We're in the infancy of that a little bit, if you will, on trying to figure out how we're going to be able to best do that. But for us, it's just all about taking that data, the raw data. You know, I think that it's in the range with the combined organizations of, you know, 3 to 4 billion pieces of data. And how do we make that most meaningful? And so one of the big shifts that we're trying to take on as a new organization, and this really goes to the ethos of the name and the brand of Candid, is how can we take those pieces of data and really change them from isolated and individual anecdotes and start to make insights and start to make context out of that information. And so that's one of the challenges that we have for us as an organization, is how do we make that data the most meaningful that it can be? And we do feel it's by taking those individual pieces of data and turning them into insights for our users to take in as they make whatever decisions they may be trying to make.
It's an interesting concept to ask your community, those who, you know, are sort of on the outside looking into this new merged organization, their ideas, their thoughts, their questions. Is it is a Candid's plan to have sort of this crowdsourcing of ideas become part of the DNA of Candid, or is this just something that you're doing at the launch?
Oh, no, absolutely. This is something that we're going to build in, as you said, as part of our DNA. We never want to be in a place where we're so siloed off from the rest of the sector and really from the people that are out there doing the most good, that we're not listening to them and we're not meeting their needs. And that really is core to what we're trying to accomplish. You know, as I said, we do feel as though we have the opportunity to sit at this intersection between nonprofits and the organizations that are funding them. And we take that position with a great deal of respect. And the only way that we will be able to successfully make a difference as an organization and meet our mission is by listening to both sides of that conversation and figuring out the ways that we can help a nonprofit executive director who's just starting off of a brand new nonprofit organization, how we can help them at the same time that we can help a program officer at a large foundation that is trying to be connected with nonprofits that are new and have innovative ideas, while reducing the kind of burden, the paperwork burden, if you will, in both of those different roles. And so we take that really seriously, that the only way we're going to be able to accomplish that is by listening to both of those individuals. But really, you know, that's just an example. And we want to listen to everybody that sits on both sides of that conversation. It's just as many people as we can as we develop new tools and new products and new resources and on and on and on as we go. How can we be most helpful is going to be a question that we ask ourselves over and over.
One of the things that the Foundation Center has always been known for is sort of these curated sites, or this curated approach to, here's a data set, and they would seek to speak to a particular community that was interested in that data, to invite people to participate and to make sense of data sets based on various topics or types of funders. That kind of research and curated approach to data is not necessarily something that GuideStar was necessarily known for. Do you see that sort of, here's the data and we're going to be doing research and pushing that out and creating communities around data sets being something that would now potentially happen with the GuideStar data, or will that still be more focused on the foundation or funder side?
Oh, no, absolutely. That's one of the things that I think will be core to our success. You know, my teammates, my now teammates from the foundation, the Legacy Foundation Center side of things, it's been great to get to know them. They're brilliant, and a lot of them are researchers or data analysts or librarians, if not in their previous professions, at least at heart. And it's so exciting to think about what's going to be able to happen when we take that that is so core to their DNA, and we mix it with you know, the raw data that we have from the GuideStar Center that's been so core to our DNA, and to start to create those issue-based places where people can go to learn more if they really care about a specific topic. How can we take that, take the GuideStar data and combine it with the expertise and knowledge of my new colleagues that were previously on the Foundation Center side of things to make something that's really useful and searchable and that can be used by everybody to get this information out there to the world. We're so excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the principal audiences of Foundation Center, you know, was principally foundations and funders who were participating and providing data, and charities that were looking for funding and identifying and learning where that might be coming from or what funders are looking for, but not necessarily a direct role for donors in the Foundation Center world. Whereas GuideStar, you know, principally would provide or serve up information coming from 990s, principally IRS, data and information provided by charities, and the user principally would be donors and maybe individual donors or other donors who wanted to learn from that data. It's now a completely new world when all of these are under one roof, right? So you've got the funders, you've got the charities who are being funded, and now you've got individual donors who are looking to learn from all of that. Do you feel that there's a challenge there in serving all three communities?
Yeah, I mean, I think we see it as an opportunity, to be honest. We each of those different groups of individuals that you mentioned really offer something to the overall nonprofit ecosystem. And so we do feel as though being able to be the connection piece between those three different places will really benefit each of them individually as kind of a set of users. And that was at the core of the decision to do this, was that
okay,
we can do this better together, right? That we can bring these groups together, both from a data input side. You know, we've got the GuideStar side of things, we've got 170,000 nonprofit organizations that have come and updated their profile. And on the Foundation Center side of things, they have, I believe, tens of thousands of foundations that have come and updated information about their organization or about the grants that their organization is making. And so when you start to pull that together, that's just a huge percentage of each of those different groups of organizations that are already at the table now. And now they're at the same table, or soon they will be. And so that's really one of those things that makes us pretty excited.
Yeah. Well, and I certainly can see that. I mean, you sort of hinted at, you know, one of the issues here is, you know, for both organizations, there's nothing cheap about managing data and keeping data secure, and particularly data at the extensive levels of, you know, 13 million grants and 10 million annual users. You know, that's a lot of traffic. That's a lot of data to manage. You know, how much of this was, you know, the ongoing overhead cost of maintaining two separate organizations?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a component of it, right? If there's an opportunity for us to combine data sets so that we can get some of those kind of data administrative tasks more streamlined, and reduce some redundancy a bit there, then sure, that's a net positive for us, because it will allow for us to have our experts in different areas spend time on more kind of maybe meaningful activities that go even deeper into that data and information. So that's an aspect of it. But at its core, this isn't a merger like you would find in the corporate sector, where the primary thing that we're concerned about is eliminating redundancies. Rather, okay, this is really what we like to think of as a merger of strengths, right? Where they have a certain group of skill sets and we have a certain group of skill sets that we can bring together, and it can be at its most simplest form what I've been referring to as like a 1+1=3 scenario, where we take their expertise and our expertise and can grow something that's better than just the kind of standard result of what we were doing individually. And that's a lofty goal for us to live up to, but that's really why we've decided to go down this path.
Mm-hmm. Gabe, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to pick up on that topic of 1+1=3. What does the nonprofit sector get from this new 1+1=3? And we will be right back.
Every day, millions of people are online, many of whom want to help, volunteer, and donate to a good cause. Nonprofit organizations can use many Google tools to reach potential donors around the world and raise more money. And as an approved nonprofit, it doesn't cost a thing. It's all free. Google Grants helps you promote your website with free advertising on Google.com through the AdWords program. With Google AdWords, you create ads and choose words or phrases related to your nonprofit organization. When people search on Google using one of your phrases, your ad will appear next to the Google search results under the Sponsored Links section. AdWords allows you to target certain geographic areas, dates, and times of day for your ads to appear. YouTube for Nonprofits is another tool that can boost donations to your organization. The program offers a number of perks that get your message out there and drive viewers to take action and donate. You can list your organization on YouTube's nonprofit channel and add call-to-action overlays on your videos to drive viewers to donate. Need help analyzing your website traffic and marketing effectiveness? Google Analytics is a free tool that will give you rich insight and help you increase the number of people that visit and donate to your site. Google Analytics can be invaluable to many people in your organization, such as development directors, marketing staff, and your web team. There are many other tools that can help you reach more donors and raise funds, like Google Checkout, where you can process credit card donations with no transaction fee, Google Sites to create a free website, and Website Optimizer, where you can figure out the best landing pages to turn site visitors into donors. To get started, apply for Google for Nonprofits today.
And next week here on the Nonprofit Coach, our producer, Diane Peach, has scheduled Alexandra Brovey, who is the author of the new book, Zen and the Art of Fundraising and More Pillars of Success. So make sure that you've got that on your calendar for next Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at tedhart.com. Click on Radio Links. If you're listening live today, the phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 347-324-3080. Now, back to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart.
And welcome back here to the Nonprofit Coach. We are live here with Gabe Cohen, Senior Director of Marketing and Communications of the all-new Candid organization, which was formed out of the merger of GuideStar and the Foundation Center. Gabe, before we took our brief break, you were talking about how 1 + 1 = 3. I gather that to mean that Foundation Center and GuideStar coming together is not just a merger, but it creates more. What is the more that the nonprofit sector will gain out of this merger?
Yeah, it's a good question, and to help think about it, you know, I think we could break down what Candid wants to accomplish and how we want to help people into maybe three different sections. And the first is we want to help nonprofits evaluate and share their work and the work of others. The second is that we want to make sure that people have access to the tools that help them do their best work. And then we want to improve skills so that they can improve the world. And so that's one of the ways that we're looking at it, right? How can we help nonprofits and foundations share their work and what they're accomplishing and what they're trying to accomplish? How can we make sure that the people that are in this sector have the tools that they need to help them do their work better and most efficiently too? I think is really going to be a key for us moving forward is how can we build in efficiencies into these different processes on both sides of that coin? And then are there certain skills that we can help with, working with partners like you all to help to educate onto the latest trends that are going on in the sector and the things that people need to know in order to build effective organizations? That's been a big part of Foundation Center's success over the years and something that we've done to a certain degree on the GuideStar side of things, but something that we're really excited about. And I've been a part of some conversations at Candid over the last couple of weeks and months about how we start to do that, how we start to translate the different pieces of knowledge that we have and make it more easily accessible to a larger audience. And, you know, will that take the form of blog posts or newsletters or trainings or webinars and on and on and on? And so we're starting to think through those conversations now.
The nonprofit sector is, as you mentioned, a huge part of the U.S. economy. Let me just share some statistics with our listeners. And then if you can sort of relate to, you know, with all this new data and these three communities that Candid will be serving, how maybe Candid can help the average donor really understand that there are 1.4 million nonprofits in the United States that employ 11.4 million workers. That's approximately 10.3% of the private sector workforce. And that makes the nonprofit sector the third largest workforce in the country behind only retail and manufacturing industries. And I honestly think, Gabe, that the average American has no concept of the fact that nonprofit organizations contributed nearly $1 trillion, as you mentioned, to the national economy, and have assets of over $6 trillion compared to a U.S. Overall economy of, you know, $17 or $18 trillion. So we're talking about a major force in this country, just looking at it from various points of view, you know, from, you know, the number of the working in nonprofit organizations, the work that they do, the assets that are managed, and over $400 billion that are contributed to nonprofit organizations on an annual basis now. So all of that points in the direction of a central database that has all the information on every one of those charities, on all the information of every charity that's employing anyone in this country, is got to tell a powerful story.
Absolutely. And, you know, the first place that I would just direct your users is, when we started to think about how we're going to come together as an organization, one of the first questions we asked ourselves was, how can we help people right now? As we are really building a new organization still, and we're, as an organization, we're basically a month old. So as we start to build these new tools, what are the things that we can offer users and nonprofits and donors now? And I just would point those users to the bottom of our launch page of candid.org, which is going to be our new website moving forward. But right now it's basically a temporary launch page. But at the bottom of it, we have a whole list of ways that we as an organization can help, and can help all different types of users with all different types of tasks. And it's just broken down into kind of common language, if you will. So if you want to learn how to verify nonprofits, there's a way to do that. If you want to just research nonprofits, we're going to show you how, using kind of legacy GuideStar and legacy Foundation Center tools, you can already do that. And that connection may not be there yet, where it's in one unified place, but the tools are there already, or some of them are anyway. So just keep that in mind, I would say to your users out there. The next task for us, though, is, as I mentioned, we, you know, kind of these bits and pieces of these tools and of this information and of these resources are there, but they're not together. And so really the next task that we're taking on is starting to break down these information silos that we have, right? So if you think about things from an individual donor perspective, they're probably thinking about donating to charity a couple of times a year, maybe four times a year, maybe just at the end of the year, in the kind of giving season, starting at Giving Tuesday, that's where they end up giving most of their money to different charities and organizations. Well, there's a whole group of individuals that do this all of the time, and a lot of those individuals work at foundations and are program officers at foundations, and they kind of live and eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff, if you will, about the different causes and communities that they care most about. And that's a real opportunity that we think we have as an organization. And this goes back to some of the previous things that we were talking about, Ted, of, you know, how do you bring these three user groups together, and how can we be the connection between those user groups? Well, we want to develop a way to better extract the knowledge of individuals, whether it's someone that's at a foundation as a program officer that is working on, say, homelessness in Baltimore, or maybe it's someone that's at a nonprofit organization that is working on the exact same issue, but really is on the ground and understands what needs to happen in order to make to help that particular issue in that particular community. We want to try to find a way to centralize that information into easily understandable formats for those donors that aren't thinking about this every single day, and so that we can translate that knowledge that's already there, right? All of that knowledge exists, but we need to find a way to translate it to the people that aren't thinking about it every single day, but do make a big difference.
Okay.
You know, I think
I think that goes back to you know, one of the questions I asked earlier in terms of sort of the DNA that comes over from the Foundation Center and this sort of curated approach to data around certain communities and causes and topics. And what I think you're talking about here, and I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly, is that, you know, there is a lot of expertise among those foundation executives and others who live, as you said, live and breathe in that world, are making decisions, are making grants and donations, and sort of lived within the Foundation Center. And that experience and that expertise, you know, in this new candid world will somehow now become provided to the donor who comes and says, you know, I want to learn more about that, or I want to benefit from the expertise of foundations that are working in an area that, you know, I couldn't maybe hope to hire my own advisors or my own staff to be able to understand the nuances of giving in that way. And perhaps, you know, now if I connect in through Candid, I benefit from that expertise in a very different way.
Yeah, absolutely. And our goal, you know, and we don't know specific product or tool designs or decisions at this point. We're, like I said, still kind of just in the learning part of this. But that's a place that we want to go, because that's going to help all of us at the end of the day. If we can, you know, connect, as you said, the kind of one-sentence description that we've taken on as an organization is that we want to connect people who want to change the world with the resources that they need to do it. And so part of that is starting to point more resources potentially to the organizations that are out there and doing the most good, which is a really easy thing to say and a really hard thing to accomplish. And so I want to make sure to be humble in the way that we're articulating our goals as an organization, but that certainly is something that we're striving for.
Right. Brad Smith, who was the CEO of the Foundation Center, will now be Candid's president, and Jacob Harold, who is a GuideStars leader, will be moving into the position of executive vice president at Candid. You know, two strong leaders in the nonprofit sector who certainly have a vision of what the sector needs. In their own ways, each of their organizations have been working for years on meeting those needs. So combined, you can only imagine that Candid will benefit from, you know, that combined firepower. Both organizations are well known to the nonprofit sector, to the nonprofit coach, and to our listeners. Give us some insight into that new kind of relationship and having, you know, two visionaries who have been around for a long time, who successfully built two separate organizations. How does that kind of firepower come together to benefit the sector?
Yeah, and I think that the relationship between Brad and Jacob is really core to our success moving forward. They have been working together very closely for 7, 8, 9 years now. And first, you know, they were kind of beginning these conversations, which actually kind of predate Jacob even a bit from the GuideStar side of things. But
right.
The two of them have been actively involved in the kind of dialogue of when, you know, should this happen and when should it happen and what would it look like? And that those conversations really ramped up after we made that decision to go down the road of coming together to one organization. A lot of it fell to Brad and Jacob and to the respective boards, which have now really become one board, to work out the details of that of what that was going to look like. And you know, I wasn't involved in many of those conversations, but I was involved in some of them, and have since been involved in more of them. And it's kind of awesome to see the two of them working together. They both understand. They both have a really good self-awareness of what their strengths are and what the things are that the other one may offer that they don't. And they've got this great back and forth that they're able to talk through difficult decisions and to talk with. They have a great way of really engaging with our stakeholders that they're talking to and being able to speak to the ways that both Legacy Foundation Center and Legacy GuideStar have been able to help, but how much that's going to be amplified as a new organization. And they've been having these conversations, particularly with funders, for quite a while now, to see if there, again, was that support from different foundations out there. And it really has given them a great opportunity to almost use those conversations as sounding boards for what the organization should look like in the future. So I think they're both really enjoying working together, and I'm sure that there were many times where there's been disagreements that they've had to work through. But from everything we can tell, it's really been a great working relationship that they're really feeding off of each other's energy.
That's great. Jacob Harold was quoted as saying that of this merger, the ethos will keep, users front and center in the work of Candid. What does that mean, users front and center?
Well, this goes back to what you and I were talking about earlier, Ted, that we understand that we have an opportunity, if we get it right, to play a connector piece between all of these different groups of users. And that only will be successful is if we're listening to those users and trying to figure out how we can help them the most. And, thinking about the ways that different types of people in different roles use our tools or historically have used our tools and how we can improve that and how we can help them, in a sense, do their jobs better, whether their job is as a grant manager at a foundation or, in a sense, if their job is just finding the right charity to give $100 to at the end of the year that's going to make the most impact for that money. We want to be able to help each of those different types of individuals and so many more as they go through this process of making little decisions that may be little in isolation but add up to really large flows of resources at the end of the day. And, just referencing some of those numbers that you talked about the percentage of GDP that the nonprofit sector makes up in the United States. And one thing that I just want to make sure to comment on is that one of the real opportunities that we feel we have as a joint organization now is to grow beyond just the work that's being done in the United States by U.S.-based organizations. Foundation Center has been kind of playing in that field in the past and has some great relationships with funders from all over the world. And as a new organization, we want to continue to grow those international roots that they've established. And part of that, one of the ways that we had worked together previously as single organizations was the Bridge Project, which was the common identifier, almost a social security number for organizations all over the world. And we originally worked on that partnership with Global Giving and TechSoup Global, and it continues with Global Giving now. And we feel like that's really, as we've talked about in this conversation, data is the backbone of both of our organizations and will be front and center to our success moving forward. And so being able to have that unique identifier already in place is such a great head start for us as a new organization.
Right. Now, a merger of this sort certainly doesn't happen for free. These things can be expensive, and when you hear of mergers in the for-profit sector, of course, they have resources to bring to the table. In this instance, which is often the case in the nonprofit sector, Candid is relying on some pretty major contributions from foundations and other stakeholders. Can you share with us how much has been pledged and contributed towards this and perhaps, how those funds will be used?
So I can share some of that information. So, we've raised about $30 million from foundations at this point. That's a combination of funding that's directly for the merger and then really for general operating support moving forward. And a lot of that would have been money that we potentially would have brought in as individual organizations through the generous support of the foundations that we had worked with previously. And then some of it is new organizations that understand the opportunity that we have if we're able to come together as a larger sector and pull that together. We have more ambitious goals that we're working towards from the funding side of things, and are continuing to see success as those conversations continue into the future. In terms of what's coming from that money, well, as you said, you know, there are some just hard costs that come from a merger of these sorts, and that stems everything from branding and communications to bringing business systems together, accounting systems, and internal communication systems, and then really the very hard work that's starting to happen around bringing those databases together. And as we also talked about earlier, that, you know, starting to think about some redundancies that we could potentially work towards reducing, and that's going to come it starts again at that database level, and there are some costs that are involved in that. And again, that's kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff that we need to do in order to get to the more exciting stuff that this money will also fund, which is what's next, right? And so that money will contribute to us being able to have the space to have conversations with all of those different users. As you kind of quoted Jacob saying, you know, that's going to be fundamental to us moving forward as being user-centric. So we need to allow for some space for our experts to engage in those different conversations. And so the money will go to fund that, and then it will go to fund what's next, right? Things that I can only speculate on, the tools and the resources that will be hopefully revolutionary in terms of making a difference in the world and in this sector, and to making a difference, you know, with the way that people go about their daily lives that are in this sector. And so that all of that needs to come together in a really in a way that we think will be most effective and efficient at making a difference in the world. And so we're very supportive of the support and resources that we've earned from foundations up to this point, and look forward to continuing those conversations in the future.
In some quotes attributed, I think, to Brad Smith, just to give people a sense of how massive this is, that it appears that there are 30 different business systems and data systems in addition to tech, data, and organizational processes on each side of the organization and the cultures that were created in each organization. So, you know, you're not talking about just sort of merging two Excel spreadsheets.
Absolutely not. Yeah, it is a very complex system, and I'm very thankful that I have teammates that are going to be taking on those different challenges, because getting that part right is also going to be core to our success. You know, creating a new culture that brings the best of both of our previous cultures but really make something new is going to be something that I feel is very core to our success. And there's a saying out there that culture eats strategy for breakfast every day. And I really agree with that. And I think that that's something that we're building into our plan for success moving forward, is what is the culture that is going to be able to contribute to those hard deliverables that we're going to need in order to be successful as an organization. But then, you know, for us, the logic doesn't just stop there. It then translates over to the sector. And how can we start to create a culture that expands beyond just the 250 candid teammates that I now have, and gets out there and to the sector, and it empowers people to make better decisions and better use of their time.
In the final moments that we have here, obviously, I think this is exciting. Certainly, the nonprofit coach considers GuideStar and the Foundation Center to be friends of this show and the work that we do, and are excited for what will become Candid. I can imagine, though, something this big also has its detractors. What are some of the concerns that people have expressed to you or might have as you begin down this road in this new marriage?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I can say pretty honestly that we've been thankfully surprised at how much support we've received as we've gone through the process over the last couple of months. And that's been nice. It's been reassuring to hear so many people say, to kind of metaphorically pat us on the back and say, this is great. We're glad you're doing this and it makes sense to us. There have been those that are concerned, though, and some of those concerns are about how we are going to take some of the things that they like now and only make them better and not make them worse. And I think one of the concerns that we've heard from the Legacy GuideStar side that we're aware of and that we're really working on is that our GuideStar seals of transparency are something that nonprofits use to share their accomplishment, not just within the sector, but really outside of the sector. And they display those seals on their websites and in their marketing material as an indication of, sure, of their transparency. And donors really recognize those. They may not know GuideStar and all of the different tools and resources that we previously had, and they really may not know about this merger into Candid. And so how can we make sure that we thoughtfully transition that brand? And that's something that we are spending dedicated time thinking about as a new organization and working with experts outside of our organization, is how we can make that transition as smooth as possible so that nonprofits continue to be rewarded for earning those seals of transparency. And I don't know if this has been shared with your audience or not, Ted, but we worked with a series of researchers out of Villanova University last year that were very interested in learning if transparency correlates to growth for nonprofit organizations. And so what they did was we shared a data set with them, and they analyzed a cohort of nonprofits that 1 year did not have a GuideStar seal of transparency, and then the next year did earn a GuideStar seal of transparency. And what they found was, at an aggregate level, they grew by 52%.
52%. 52%. That's incredible.
And that's just a startling statistic that, to be honest, I wouldn't believe if it wasn't done by researchers at a university that were then peer-reviewed before being published in an accounting journal. So we know the impact now that these seals have, and that really the impact that organizations being transparent has on their potential growth. And so we want to be really careful with how we translate that into our seals and that program moving forward. And so that's, you know, something that was brought up as an opportunity for us.
Yeah. Right. And so I suppose, you know, that concern goes back to your concept of 1+1=3 and making sure that there is added value and that there isn't a minus sign anywhere in that equation. So, Gabe Cohen, thank you for being my guest here today, explaining, you know, what is Candid, why did this merger between GuideStar and Foundation happen. So in our final moment here, can you just make sure that all of our listeners, we did post over on Facebook.com/ Ted Hart, the Candid.org site, but how can our listeners be in contact with Candid if they want to benefit from these new services?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first place they can go is just Candid.org. That's our new home base moving forward, and that site will continue to grow. They can also email answers@candid.org, or they can find us at Twitter, candid.org. So Candid, D-O-T-O-R-G, is our new Twitter handle. And any of those ways will connect you with one of our teammates that can help answer any questions and hear any ideas that you have. Lastly, if you're on any of the Legacy GuideStar Foundation Center websites, you're now going to see up at the top of a screen a quick navigation bar that can help you kind of move between our existing sites and products and tools. So hopefully you can navigate around that much more easier now. Those just launched earlier this week, so we're excited about that.
Gabe, again, thank you for being our guest. We are out here rooting for the success of Candid, and I hope that you will come back often and keep us up to date on candid.org. Thank you again, and that is The Nonprofit Coach.
Thanks, Ted.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Coach Radio Show with Ted Hart. Tell all your friends to check out our production schedule and download our iPod and iPad-friendly podcasts at tedhart.com. Thanks for listening to The Nonprofit Coach.